gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as we progress this week, we're getting loads of cards and letters from new listeners. Many of you have signed up on the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com, and we're seeing greater and greater participation. Of course, when you have forums, people express all sorts of points of view. You know, it's not just people agreeing with me or with my co-host, such as our co-host this week, Christopher O'Brien. Sometimes they think we don't know what we're doing. And I frankly admit to that, you know.
Me neither.
Right, but we're still here. But seriously, you know, we had that interview we did on our August 1st episode with Ted Phillips, who is one of those people who has been on the scene investigating all sorts of paranormal phenomena, UFO trace evidence, and a wider circle of strange events. And people now complain. They complain if you're an armchair researcher, because they say, well, you're not getting out in the field. You really aren't doing anything more than reading books and summarizing them. Whereas if you get out in the field, you don't know what you're doing. Now, you're a field investigator. How does one become a field investigator? Do you have to have a degree? Paranormal field investigator?
Well, we're inventing the wheel as we go along to a certain extent. I think it really boils down to the actual area of research and investigation that you're most involved with. Personally, I'm the kind of person that looks at it all cross-phenomenal elements, whether it's making notations on strange weather, unusual societal events, obviously reports of the unexplained. And there is no real rhyme or reason behind it. I think the most important tool that an aspiring field investigator has is his ability to sum up and to ascertain the veracity of a witness. I think that's the most important thing, is the people skills involved. Obviously, if you're starting to get into actual physical evidence investigation, it's good to have access to lab personnel and labs that are willing to do biophysical testing, let's say, or in the case of the unusual animal death realm, forensic sample testing. And proper investigative techniques, I think, are really important in terms of how to interview somebody properly, what questions to ask, what order those questions should go in. And these are all very important elements that takes time for you to develop the actual your actual personal style and technique, and the proper investigation of a case is people skills, and I call it a bedside manner. I mean, as I mentioned, I think on my first show as a guest last year, there are cases where I would call up somebody who I knew had something incredible happen to them and never ask them about the event. Just call up, introduce myself, and just talk about anything but why I was calling. And then slowly, after several phone calls, they volunteer the information. So, you know, there are various techniques that one can utilize. So there's no real rhyme or reason except for those people skills. That's what it all boils down to.
Okay, is there any way to train yourself to develop that? Because is it something native? You have to have the people skills, know how to talk to people, how to listen to them. Can you learn this, or are you just born with it?
Well, I think, obviously, to have a mentor, I was very fortunate in the early 90s. Back then, Linda Moulton Howe took me under her wing for a certain period of time and was able to, even just over the phone, give me a crash course on how to properly interview people, and I will be forever grateful for that. Also, David Perkins, who has done 35-plus years of investigative work, he was very instrumental in kind of taking me step-by-step through the interview process. The actual science that you're trying to ascertain is a whole different ballgame, but I think you have to have sort of a natural ability to communicate with people, to have people feel comfortable around you. There are some investigators who go out there, they're like bulls in a china shop, and if they're not from the area, if they're not a local in the community, it's very difficult for them to have people open up to them. But if you're you know, calm, and you don't lead the witness, you honor requests for anonymity, you allow them to feel comfortable enough to open up. I think that's the most important ingredient. And that's something you can maybe be taught that, but I think there's a personal rapport that you got to have, I think, and that's kind of an innate ability.
So you either know it or you don't. Now, of course, Linda Moulton Howell is sometimes a little bit controversial.
Yeah. Well, she definitely is a good investigator, though. She does know how to go out into the field and ask the right questions. She's very good at that. The problem, I think, with investigators like Linda, who tend to go into areas that they're not locals in and cherry-pick events, they have a harder time getting locals to open up. Because I lived in the San Luis Valley, I had a local phone number. People saw that I honored requests for anonymity, that I wasn't judgmental. People were much more, had less reticence to open up to me. And I think that that's really important to be a local in the region that you're investigating. That really helps immensely.
That also requires either finding a job in that region or just restricting yourself to areas near where you live.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
I was very fortunate in the San Luis Valley in that regard, although I did end up spending most of my life savings over the 13-year period. But, it's a passion. You really have to have a high degree of motivation. You need to be extremely detail-oriented. You need to write everything down. That is the number one thing that everyone's got to do out in the field is write it down. And it's not for everybody. Everyone is not cut out to be a field investigator. It's not easy.
In terms of equipment, what kind of equipment should you have? Is it sufficient just to have some kind of digital recording device, even if it's a smartphone?
Well, yeah, obviously a video camera, some sort of recording device. Those are really important. Also a planisphere. I tend to go out with a star map that you can dial in the particular time of year and time of the night to factor out mundane celestial objects, let's say, for UFO reports. I was fortunate to be gifted a good set of night vision binoculars. A tri-field meter is very helpful, a compass, with colored pencils and a notepad for people to do sketches. There's quite a lot of gear that, slowly over the years you can add to your bag of your investigative bag of tricks. But those are the basic elements. A compass is important, a black light, a little Geiger counter. These are radiation detector. These are all things that I have in my kit. And then we get into the forensic sample taking and having formalin and scalpels and sample jars. And, it gets more involved if you get into actual physical sample gathering. And
sounds like you're getting into the CSI stage. Listen, we're going to be changing the subject, segueing to a totally different subject this week other than field investigation. Can you tell us about our guest?
Well, this is going to be very interesting, Gene. Lewis Jarvis, I've known for 17 years. He is one of the more fascinating people I've ever met. He is widely considered to be one of the top comparative prophecy scholars out there. He's been a mover and shaker behind the scenes, as we will find out. He's very knowledgeable about Tibetan Buddhism and some of the prophetic traditions there, Native American prophecy and other things, and how they dovetail actually with the paranormal in some sense. So this is going to be a very, very fascinating segment this week. His father was a special operations group commander, worked at Fort Detrick with Sidney Gottlieb in the Army Chemical Corps. He has a very, very interesting background, and I'm really looking forward to this. He does not get on the radio and talk much. We're very fortunate to have him.
Lewis Jarvis, coming up next on
The Paracast.
The As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/powercast. That's audiblepodcast.com/powercast.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us up the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the PowerCast.
I'm Christopher O'Brien, and you're in the PowerCast. I am really happy and pleased to present a fascinating guest that we have today, Lewis Jarvis. Lewis does not do much radio. He's a behind-the-scenes guy, and we're very fortunate to have Lewis on the program. Lewis, welcome to the Paracast.
Thanks, Chris. It's your fault that I'm here.
We blame Chris for everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It comes with the territory.
We all need a scapegoat, so may as well just cut to the chase.
Well, some people have been using me as a scapegoat for a lot of years. I don't want to get into that.
We're helping you share the load there, Gene. Lewis, why don't you give us a little bit of a background, sort of thumbnail sketch of your very fascinating interests in life and some of the things that you've done in your life, just to give our listeners a real quick idea of who Lewis Jarvis is.
Well, I guess basically, to put it in a nutshell, I'm an Army brat. My father was a career Army officer, actually two phases in his career, a World War II infantryman, assigned to Patton's Third Army, a liberator of Dachau. Then after the war, came back, studied pre-medicine, following in his father's footsteps, and finished up St. Bonaventure's University as a double major, chemistry, biology major, just at the time that the Korean War broke out. So as a decorated combat veteran from the Second World War, he was the unit commander of the ROTC unit at St. Bonaventure. With the Korean War breaking out, he was told, you're not going to be a reserve officer, a reserve lieutenant on your active duty. And we, the Department of the Army, are switching your career branch from infantry to chemical corps, which led to him being not just within the chemical corps, but in fact, a CIA, created and directed subunit, perhaps the most secretive unit in the history of the armed forces, the Chemical Corps Special Operations Division, which was under the direction of the real cancer man, who was Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, in charge of the CIA's mind control research, paranormal research, mythological engineering, to use Jacques Vallée's term. That was Dad's boss. So my father was an Army officer in the sense that his own loyalty and vow of fealty was to the Constitution. The only thing that distinguished him from being CIA was that CIA takes a vow of loyalty to the agency that puts it above the Constitution. But nevertheless, my father was, as an Army Special Operations Officer, assigned to Special Operations Division, Chemical Corps, and then Special Forces work under the direction of the CIA. And that made my father's career extremely exceptional, involved, as I would find out after he died, involved with some of the deepest, darkest secrets of the Cold War. And actually, after my father's passing away in 87, I came to realize that I knew only the surface of my father's career. I had lived it in part as his son, going hither, thither, and yon across the globe, but I really only knew my dad in one sense, very much on a surface level. And since he passed away, I'm trying to go back and fill in the gaps as best I can. These secrets are above top secret and, for the most part, not documented. So,
well, you know what? Before we go on, Lewis, maybe you can tell us what things you learned that really surprised you about your dad.
Well, on the one hand, my father was a very spiritual person with a great devotion as a devout Roman Catholic, devotion to Michael the Archangel, who is the patron saint of the airborne. And there was that aspect to him. I would say during the Second World War, as a liberator of Dachau, he most definitely, in my opinion, fought on the side of the good angels, with Michael being the leader of the avenging angels of God. But with the Cold War, the breaking out of the Cold War, I would have to say that my father, being brainwashed by the church on the one hand and by the American Cold War mentality on the other, my father went from serving the good angels to serving the dark angels. And not that he wanted to or was consciously doing that, but this is what happened to the American military
What do you mean by dark angels here?
Well, the opposite of Michael and the good watchers are the bad watchers. And that's straight out of the Book of Enoch, going back a very long time. Who are the watchers? Well, those are the 200 bad ones that descended to earth, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 of Genesis. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and you know the story. Entered unto them as wives, and took them as wives, and produced the race of giants, the mighty ones of old, the Nephilim. So those critters, that other side, they're the good watchers, and they're the fallen watchers. And Sitchin Zechariah, Sitchin, my brother Zechariah, insists on translating Anunnaki, the Sumerian scriptures, as those who from heaven to earth came. That's not really Anunnaki. What Anunnaki means, those who from heaven to earth fell, as in fallen angels. So you have this Brotherhood of the Shadows, as Blavatsky called them, Brotherhood of Death, which was the original name of the Skull and Bones. You have the light and dark side of the equation.
So the white hat angels and the black hat, more demonic fallen angels.
Well, and the thing you always have to keep in mind about the dark side, we'll put it in Buddhist terms, those who are on the upward path into the heavenly realms, the paradises, the Buddha fields, and those who are on the downward path into the lower realms. The human realm being the switch, or you could say the realm that's most in the middle. In the human realm, you can be on the upward path and the downward path at will, day to day. It's do you want to be reincarnated as an animal? Do you want to be reincarnated in the hungry ghost realm? Do you want to be reincarnated in the hell realms? Or do you want to be on the upward path? So this existential reality is reflected across the board in our experience on this planet. And as you know, Chris, in the Hopi point of view, this is the fourth incarnation of Mother Earth, headed now on the cusp of the fifth world. And this problem is not new. It goes back a long, long time. And indeed, from the point of view of Tibetan Buddhism, it's not limited to planet Earth at all. This is a transcosmic, right to the edge of the universe reality. Those who are on the upward path, those who are on the downward path, and all the in-between stages and the two.
Wow.
We'll get into more of this in just a moment. We have Lewis Jarvis, and we're discussing, well, I guess we'll be getting into a whole range of subjects about prophecy, about religions and their impact. Our co-host this week is Christopher O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You are indeed in the PowerCast. Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula, and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Global meltdowns, massive unemployment, endless wars, a new currency crisis, financially and morally bankrupt. A great and terrible storm is approaching. So what's the best way to get ready? To get prepared for hard times ahead. Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent patriots who want practical advice on how to survive and prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Off the Grid News is fiercely independent, all about self-reliance, and packed with helpful information on survival gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, herbal medicines, privacy and security, as well as God, gold, and guns, with absolutely no apologies. And the best part? This $100 a year service is now free of charge for our listeners. That's right, free for our listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.com. That's offthegridnews.com. You can sign up for free at offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Our co-host is Christopher O'Brien. Our guest this week is Lewis Jarvis. Is there a category we can put you into? I talked about comparative prophecies, but is there a broad category that we can put the kind of things you talk about?
Well, yeah, I'm an aficionado, devotee of comparative religion, comparative prophecy. But I think my take on spirituality is a little bit broader than the Orthodox view. And Orthodox actually literally means narrow-minded, straight and narrow. My view is heretical. But in defense of myself, I would point out that the Greek word heresia actually means private opinion. So a heretic is simply, we're all heretics. We all have our private opinions, and certainly that applies to the Church of Rome as well as anybody else. It's all heresy, i.e. private opinion. But if you demonize the word heresy, then you come up with those that have been burned at the stake for their point of view. My point of view is certainly heretical.
Let's get back to your dad again before we drift too far away from Special Operations Group. Are there some, missions and tasks that your father was involved with that you can talk about that give, I think, our listeners a little better understanding of the extent of Gottlieb's work at Fort Detrick and the Army Chemical Corps and some of the things that that your father's guys were involved with?
You certainly won't get this out of Henry Kissinger. He's the only person alive left that could confirm this as a participant in the events. But in 1969, my father, down the chain of command, his boss, his direct boss being General Abrams, General Westmoreland's successor as commanding officer in Vietnam. In 1969, my dad's boss, General Abrams, was tasked by Richard Nixon, Richard Helms, the then director of the CIA, and Henry Kissinger with assassinating Uncle Ho, Ho Chi Minh. So General Abrams turned to my father, the Wizard of Armageddon, and said, John, we're going to take out Uncle Ho. And so the way to do it was you had to run a feasibility study first. First of all, you had to find out, can you get a helicopter or two, a Huey? Can you get, a Huey or two into downtown Vietnam? Not too far, actually, from Viet Minh headquarters, where Ho Chi Minh's office was.
Downtown Hanoi, you're saying?
Downtown Hanoi.
Okay.
Downtown Hanoi. When my father told me this story after coming back in 1969, I laughed at him. I ridiculed him. I just laughed at him and said, Dad, you've been reading too much. I don't know what the hell you were doing over there in Vietnam, but you've been reading too much James Bond. What he told me was, he had been dressed up all in black, basically Viet Cong pajamas, with black face, running around downtown Hanoi one night with a special forces team. And I just laughed at him. I wouldn't find out until after he was gone what happened that night. And in fact, he wasn't making a damn thing up. He was not supposed to be there on that special operations group mission. And I'm sure General Abrams was a little bit nervous that my dad would do what he was renowned for doing, going against orders when it came to the lives of his men. Because remember, he had been a mere private and sergeant in the Second World War. He was a maverick. He was a Mustang that had worked himself up from an enlisted man up to an officer all the way up to brigadier general. And he was not supposed to go with the team that he was directing up into Hanoi, but he did. And the feasibility mission was to see if they could assassinate Uncle Ho. Now, the way they would have done it if the mission had decided that, yes, we can risk it, because I believe that there was another aspect to the mission. On the one hand, can we take out Uncle Ho? And on the other hand, can we free the prisoners, including John McCain? Although my father didn't know that. He was in the Hanoi Hilton, and the Hanoi Hilton wasn't that far away from the Vietnam headquarters where Uncle Ho was. This is downtown Hanoi. So it was a double purpose to the mission. And if they had decided that, yeah, they would make an attempt on Ho Chi Minh's life, it would have been done with inhalation anthrax. And my father was a master of that, having been trained by Unit 731, Japanese biological warfare, criminals hired like the Nazis after World War II. Of course, everyone knows about paperclip, but very few people are aware of what happened with the recruitment of General Isis, Unit 731, and that was under General McNamara, MacArthur, pardon me, Robert McNamara, General MacArthur and his intelligence chief, a guy by the name of Charles Willoughby. So Unit 731 guys, including Ishihi, Ishihi was brought himself to Fort Detrick, where Special Operations Division headquarters was, but SOD, Army Chemical Corps SOD, was also at Fort Edgewood. At Edgewood, you had the Nazis. At Dietrich, you had more Unit 731 people, but there was a going to and fro, not just to those two facilities, but primarily at those two facilities.
It's a nefarious cast of characters there, Lewis.
Well, and of course, under some very nefarious characters put under the command of Sidney Gottlieb in 53.
Yeah. Well, so what I'm kind of getting from you is there's almost like a sense of attempting to right some wrongs that possibly your father, you know, inadvertently initially maybe had gotten into, and then maybe you're trying to make up for some of the things that he obviously was involved with that aren't too pleasant. Is that one of your driving sort of motivating forces in your work and in your life?
Well, if you put me on the spot, I'm V from Vendetta. It's payback time. It's my turn. And mind you, this isn't a vengeance trip, although, of course, everyone is going to say, huh, you know, I mean, we'll dismiss you by just calling you some kind of vengeance freak. It's much more than, you know, a vengeance thing. What V was trying to do was trigger the cowed into standing up and doing away with a great evil that he himself, remember, in terms of real history, V was an MK Ultra subject. Remember what was going on to V and how everyone else died in that fire in the lab and the experiments that were going on? V was an MK Ultra guinea pig. So in carrying on a vendetta, he wasn't carrying on a mere personal crusade. It was transpersonal. In fact, actually, there was very little of it that was so much personal, although there was that aspect to it. He had been a subject. He had been a guinea pig, and it had turned him into a monster. But that's not why he was fighting. It was to right a wrong that he had to heal a breach in the universe, in our time-space continuum, that the negative had opened up. And that's where we are, you know, in terms of who I am and who my father was. A certain hole was knocked into our reality that has to be healed. I mean, to bring it into geospatial terms, that hole or those series of holes are still leaking in the Gulf of Mexico, and they're going to get very much larger in whichever context or scenario you want. We've got holes in reality that we've got to plug, or we're going to just be, well, we're all going to be, we're not going to make it. So it's not just a vengeance trip. It's not actually a vengeance trip. It's a healing thing. But for those on the receiving end of it, you know,
it might not be too pleasant.
It might not be too pleasant.
What is pleasant is the fact that we're talking to Lewis Jarvis, and we have a whole lot of area to cover. We're just kind of getting to the beginning of it right now. The co-host this week is Christopher O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You are definitely, most assuredly, in the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack, attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack, attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack, attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to
worry. You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Philip Rogno. You're listening to Paracast, one of the most informative shows out there. So listen closely.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. A reminder, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome your support. And we welcome, by the way, your reviews, positive or negative, in iTunes. So if you subscribe to our podcast version of the Paracast, and you do, of course, through iTunes, write a review. Plus or minus, we want to hear from you your honest opinion. We're talking with Lewis Jarvis, and we're trying to sort out some of the things here. And we brought up V for Vendetta, which, of course, was a movie some years back. So how does Lewis Jarvis gain vengeance, and what do you mean by that?
Well, it's not vengeance,
yes.
But rather rectifying a wrong that has to be rectified.
So it's righting a wrong. So how do you right the wrongs?
Well, first of all, you have to put your life on the line. You have to walk the walk, and you can't just leave it as speculation or research and filling your head with factoids. You have to take direct action. So in terms of my direct action, I guess you could say things became pretty hot, or things really took off in terms of my becoming involved myself in covert activities was in 1987, just after my father died, March of 1987. I went to attend Amy Carter, President Carter, and Abby Hoffman's trial in Massachusetts, where I was living at the time. And both Amy and Abby had been arrested for trespassing against the CIA at the University of Massachusetts, because they prevented some buses on the campus that were taking students to CIA interviews from going to their destination. They lay down in front of the buses, and several students were arrested along with Amy and Abby, and were, you know, put on trial, and six-person jury. And the government, of course, objected mightily when these defendants, led by Amy and Abby, won a what's called a necessities defense, i.e. their defense for doing what they did would be breaking a lower law in order to uphold a law, a higher law, in this case moral law, i.e. the true crime and the true criminals involved were the CIA. So this became an international cause celebre, because the president, the president's daughter, the former president of the United States' daughter, with a renowned hippie, was putting the CIA on trial. So I met Amy and Abby, and then the following months, I went down to CIA headquarters at Langley, Virginia, and was arrested with 500 other activists who were protesting CIA criminality. So that began my own direct action, which actually, as violent as my rhetoric may be, I am a practicing Buddhist. It's Tibetan Buddhism, so on the one hand, we do believe in nonviolence, but on the other hand, we do believe in something called wrathful Buddha activity. So that's a skillful means. Tibetan Buddhism may be probably is the only form of Buddhism which upholds this idea of wrathful Buddha activity, of which to give a very direct and memorable example in our own tradition. That is what Jesus was doing when he drove the money changers out of the temple. The only problem is the money changers came right back. And now, of course, they're in the driver's seat.
Is this the time period when you met David McMichael and the National Security alumni?
Well, I met David as a direct result of this going to Langley and then being in Washington and going over to the Christic Institute. And I had mailed things to David and Father Davis, William Davis, and Danny Sheehan and Sarah Nelson, et cetera, et cetera. And Father Davis and Sheehan and Sarah Nelson, the whole crew, basically turned over my my writing to David with a note. I saw it on his desk when I first met David there in April of 87. Is this guy crazy?
Well, you know what? Maybe it was about me. Maybe they were writing something about me.
Is this guy probably crazy? Gene. Yeah, that's got to be it, Gene. Well, this is the Paracast, and one of the things that we want to cover, you know, your background and your bona fides, I know personally because I've known you for so many years, are quite impressive. You've been in contact over the years with some of the leading movers and shakers in politics and you know, in the UN and in other areas. And one of the things that's always fascinated me about your work is how it dovetails with ancient spiritual traditions and the subject of our show, the Paracast, the paranormal side of religious miracles. And one of the things I know that you've done quite a bit of research and study on is the Marian apparitions and a possible link with the modern paranormal type phenomenon being misinterpreted back in the day by people who were witnesses of miraculous events. Do you want to broach that subject? Maybe talk about Fatima, for instance. We could maybe start
sure.
there. It's a good place.
Sure. I'll read you a couple of sentences from our hero, Ray Stanford's book, Fatima Prophecy. And I meant that with no sarcasm intended. Ray is a very influential person in my life, and Ray's influence in my life began with first reading Fatima Prophecy in 1976. And this is an excerpt, a very short one, from Fatima Prophecy. She, meaning the Blessed Virgin, she warns of the danger of a vast and devastating world war, in which, at worst, two-thirds of the children of men shall die. She warned that it may come quickly and unexpectedly through events that will build in Israel and in the lands thereabouts. In a nutshell, that's the genuine third secret of Fatima right there. And that is actually today's headlines coming at us every day, including today Admiral Mullen saying, well, of course we have a plan to attack Iran. Now, he meant that in a sense of contingency plans, and he hastened to add that, well, we don't want to go there, you know, of course we have a plan to take them out. But if that plan to take them out gets actuated, if Israel throws our hat over the wall for us and forces us into a conflict, it's going to lead to the nuclear, biological, chemical war that the Blessed Virgin warned of at Fatima, and people a long time before that, not the least of those other people being Nostradamus. So it will take, if the attack happens, and it looks like it's pretty damn imminent, if it happens, then it will take a miracle to shut it down. And in fact, that miracle was also prophesied to happen. The direct line to another, in fact, I would say the most important 20th century apparition or series of apparitions after Fatima being Garlandal, Spain. And the key text, although Ray will fight me from now until doomsday over this, the key text explaining all of this is Fatima Prophecy. By the way, the original title of which in the hardback published by AUM was Fatima Prophecy, Days of Darkness, Promise of Light. And Ray's readings are simply a theological treatise without any peer explaining exactly what Fatima and Garabandal and then a few other linked in between Fatima 1917, beginning of Garabandal 1961. And not to stop there, but Fatima Prophecy also goes on to explain the extraterrestrial real, not the CIA hoaxing, not misunderstood or misinterpreted phenomenon, but the actual genuine ET component to all of these Marian apparitions. And if the war happens, what role ET contact, genuine ET contact, plays in all of this?
You know, there's a lot of stuff here that raises 60,000 other questions. And I'm going to want to approach some of this because we have a lot of people who listen to the show who are comfortable with spiritual issues and prophecy, others who want physical proof. And certainly the question of UFO reality is a very big issue, something that we explore constantly on the PowerCast. In fact, I think we focus more on UFOs than any other subject, although we've started to move farther afield. So I'm going to want to look at your expectations and your opinions with regard to prophecy and how real those prophecies might be, because that's a very important issue, and we want to get into that coming up in the next segment of the show. We're talking with Lewis Jarvis, and he's a different sort of guest than we've had on the show, with a very, very wide range of very unusual life experiences that we're trying to explore. Our co-host is Christopher O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.